Today we are going to talk about, my message is called Beyond the Vote. What does it mean for us to be citizens and good citizens in this world we live in? Tumultuous as it is, divisive as it can be. Look at our vote this morning. In fact, who's my lead counter? It's Amanda. Okay, Amanda, come on up here, would you please? Because I need to know. We're going to have our official vote. Now, I know people out there online are playing into this a little bit, and Mike, this does take into account the Electoral College, so the official count today is the... You're lawyering up. Okay, we're going to have a challenge in the courts on this. Okay, well, I know that this is a personal thing, and I shouldn't ask people to tell me what your vote was, but... Amanda, which I don't know, maybe you saw it, but I raised my hand when it came for Snickers time. So I'm really rooting for my Snickers, and we're going to find out how it goes. But did we have any of the write-in candidates really make a good, strong showing? Maybe some of the eight that we didn't get a chance to even consider?
About two each.
Okay, so... No, two each. For each write-in had about two, so okay. So, okay, well, let's do it. Let's just go ahead and say it. For New Life Community Church, the vote is in, and the winner is... Reese's Peanut Butter Cups! Woo! Yes. I have none to pass out, but I passed out a whole lot last night, so I'm not surprised. And if anyone got any Skittles and you don't like them, you want your Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, give your Skittles to Marley because she is really hoping to come up with a lot of Skittles. She's hoping the Skittles will come her way. All right, well, Amanda, thank you. Oh, Snickers was runner-up. Okay, and Sour Patch. Oh, see, Sour Patch would have been a write-in candidate. So there you go. So it is Reese's, Val. Snickers is the first loser. That's all we can say. We don't have, there's no reason to be in second place for this one because second place is as good as eighth because if you're not first, you're last, right? Talladega Nights, right, Andrew?
Ricky Bobby,
that's right, Ricky Bobby. Oh, yes, for those who need the pop culture reference there, that's from a recent movie in the last decade, Val, called Talladega Nights. Will Ferrell, he's a popular kind of a comedic actor now, huh? Andrew, I should have you tell us about it. There you go. All right. Hey, but before we get too far afield, the challenge for us, what does it mean for us to be good citizens in a world that seems to have gone kind of crazy, and especially with all the stuff going on around us today, we do live in these tumultuous times. So I want to encourage you, before I don't need to explain it, you all know it. You've seen it, you've lived it. We're a part of some unprecedented times, not just because of the virus, but just everything else that's going on around us. And so what do we do about that? For those who are online, who are live streaming today, we are at the conclusion of our service today going to be celebrating Holy Communion. If you're here, I hope you were able to receive one of our prepackaged communion elements, and you will have those, so just have those handy. If you didn't receive one, our ushers will get one for you. But if you're at home, know that we will be taking a few moments at the end if you want to have something prepared so that you too can participate via the online. I'm sorry we can't give something to you via the online, but we will take some time. I just want to highlight and point that out as we get ready to move forward. This is the world that we live in. I want to mean for us to live as good citizens in the midst of the nation and in the midst of the world that we live in. I want to suggest that we make at least three agreements today. And if you will go with me on these three agreements, and consider if you will agree with me to do these things, I think we'll get ourselves further down the line. First is this. Regardless of outcome on Tuesday, or regardless of the outcome on Tuesday, or whenever the count is finished, I would encourage you to do this. This is my agreement I'm offering you. That we get back to the business of being one people, of being one nation, of working towards reconciliation, and of making love the priority of our church in the midst of a hostile world. Okay? So that's going to be my first agreement. I would ask you to join hands with me and agree to do that. that, yeah, election time sometimes is a crazy time. Sometimes it brings out the worst in us. But I want to invite us to say, okay, regardless of how it goes, whether your candy is considered the best or it's not, or whether you're the person you vote for wins or not, that we get back to the business of being one people. The second agreement I would like to make with you this morning as we consider what does it mean for us to be good citizens is to, if you have not yet taken the opportunity to express your vote, to cast your ballot, please do so. We live in a privileged place in this world, in the United States. With that, one of the privileges we have is the opportunity to participate in the way our nation goes. And so I would encourage all of you to get out and vote. In the words of Shakespeare, vote. You know, I was suspicious of this, that maybe Shakespeare didn't say that, but when I saw it, it was on the internet, so it has to be true. Right? Yeah. Okay. Everything on the internet is true, right, Dee? You know, and I don't really care. You know, I really don't care. If you feel like maybe, you know, this, that the election is choosing the best of the best, or whether you look at the election as saying the lesser of two evils, I don't care. Maybe the best vote we could make would be, I've seen some of you out there with those signs in your yard, you know, Jesus 2020. You know, you're not going to find a perfect candidate unless it is Jesus. So, but on our ballot, I want to encourage you to do your part and to be a part of what it means to be a part of our vote. And also, then I would like, this would be our third agreement. Starting now, let's be the church and do what the Bible calls us to do when it comes to selecting leaders and dealing with leaders. And that is going to be pray. Okay, so that's going to be our third agreement, if you will, with me. We're going to talk and look at a couple of, even in the leaders, even if they're not popular leaders, according to me. And we're also going to look a little bit at what the Bible has to say about what we as citizens, part of our duty is. So, before we look at prayer, I want to ask, what makes up the bulk of our prayers currently? Because when I say let's pray about it, you know, what does that mean to us? Because a lot of people, I think, when we come to prayer, prayer is a funky thing. We've been talking about it. We talked about it last week. We looked at the Lord's Prayer a little bit. We'll look at it a little bit again today. We'll be talking about it the next few weeks, about more about what does it mean for us to develop a more healthy prayer life. And how does this factor in to that more healthy prayer life? Because a lot of us, I think, our prayers are made up of a couple of words. Maybe this is part of your prayers. Help me. Or maybe one of the words that comes up in your prayers a lot, change them. Or maybe, and some of you might have this as a, sorry. Try that one on with God. Yeah, not really my fault. Somebody else's fault. Maybe it's your fault, God, but I'm sorry. Yeah, good luck with that one. You know, but I want to talk today a little bit about what does it mean for us to develop and deepen our prayer and how that then begins to factor in with the world around us, and especially with what it means for us as we pray for our nation and the direction and the leadership of those who are serving as leaders. Back in the Lord's Prayer, you've heard this because most of you probably know the Lord's Prayer. I'm looking at the Gospel of Matthew. This is where we get kind of most of our Lord's Prayer idea comes mostly out of the book of Matthew. There's a few other pieces that have been added to over the course of time. But it begins like this. Jesus was speaking to actually here on the Sermon on the Mount and talked about what it means to pray. And he said, when you pray, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We talked about that last week, about the proper attitude of approaching prayer and what does it mean for us to come into God's presence and to accept that invitation by Almighty God to interact with Him and to bring, not only, notice this, when Jesus moves on in His model prayer for us, He doesn't start with what my needs list is. He doesn't talk about my Santa's wish list. He doesn't talk about the things that I want or the things that I see or the things that I think I need. But Jesus starts instead in His model prayer. He begins with this idea of seeking after God's will in the midst of my life and the world around me. He said, "Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth, right here, right now, even as it is in heaven. Now, how is God's will done in heaven? It's done completely. It's done perfectly. And so what we pray when we pray this prayer along with Jesus is that we pray that what's going on in heaven, God's perfect will, would also begin to happen here on this earth. God's perfect will working itself out. Now again, if we begin our prayer by talking about God, to see what your perfect will is, reveal to me what your perfect will is, allow me to see what your perfect will is, so that I might then join you in it, it changes the trajectory of our prayer, doesn't it? Instead of saying, God, let me tell you what I want, God, let me tell you what I need, God, let me tell you what I think, if we start with, again, with God's will and God's plan, God's kingdom's advance, his coming and revealing himself here to us, it changes how we pray. So that's what we're invited to begin to pray. In the book of 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul invited us to pray. And again, recognizing this idea that God has his hands on what's going on around us, that to recognize that we need to see that God's will is being done, and where we are out of place, maybe we're to be working to bring his will, or maybe we need to get in line with what to. He speaks about this idea of what does it mean to be good citizens and the call for us to pray. I want to touch on this and maybe take a few notes on this and have this be the heart of our third agreement today. Paul said this. He said, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Priority one, pray for all people. And that's hard to do because there's a lot of people. But that's our invitation. Ask God to help them intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Again, you see the changing of the priority. It's not me and it's not my way. It is praying for all people, to pray for them, for God's help for them, to intercede on their behalf, and to give thanks for them. Verse 2. And pray in the same way who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Verse 3. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior. Verse 4. Who wants everyone, hear this, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. You know, a lot of times we will talk, what we really need in this world, what we really need in our nation is not a vote, it's not an election, but it's a revival. Maybe you've said that, maybe you've heard people say that. I'm going to suggest to you that what we yearn for, that idea of revival, that all people coming to know the Lord and all people coming to be saved, is kind of wrapped up here in this verse. And the path to getting there is this pattern for prayer. Who would have thunk that maybe that yearning of our heart for revival might be partially dependent on our obedience to doing what the Bible says, which is praying for all people and then praying for those who are in authority. Now, this may sound like a hard thing, because maybe you don't like President Trump, or maybe you didn't like President Obama, and you can't imagine praying for people like that. But I'm going to suggest to you that the writer of the Bible here, this is Paul, back in about 60 AD, and at that time, about 60 AD, there was a fellow by the name of Nero who was the emperor. And so when Paul says, pray for your king, pray for those in authority over you, he wasn't thinking about, well, even if you didn't vote for him, you ought to pray for him. He's saying, even if this guy's out to kill you, you still vote for, or you still pray for him. Nero was horrendous to the Christian movement in the way of persecution and scapegoating, causing amazing destruction in the early Christian church. But yet Paul says, even him, because he is in authority, our role is to pray. how would it change? How would it change not just our heart, but maybe the world, if instead of crying at the results of the election or protesting at the results of the election or purchasing your voodoo doll to be able to stick the person who'd now been elected, if instead of doing those things, if we were instead to pray? What if each and every day, not just once a year or once every 4 years when we vote, but what if every day we made this prayer part of our pattern to say that I'm going to pray for those in authority over me? You know, the pattern is here, and it says it's for all people, but then Paul says in verse 2, do the same pattern for those who are in authority. Catch it. This is what he said, that we are to, that we are to, not looking for a show of hands, but if you've not prayed for God's help for President Trump this week, this is what the Bible says you should do. Whoever's president next week, whether it be Donald Trump or Joe Biden, that would be our new challenge to pray. Okay? It says that we are to then intercede on their behalf, which means what's going on, not only for their leadership, but maybe praying for them in their personal life. Maybe this is where we intercede. If we think that the leader we have is not following after Jesus, this is where we intercede and ask for God's will to be done in their life, as well as in our life, as well as in the world around us. This is a challenge for us because we tend to be so separated and so dysfunctional by our division, that if we like them, we might pray for them. If we don't like them, we're not going to pray for them. But the challenge is that we are simply called to pray and then also to intercede on their behalf. And just because they're not a believer doesn't mean that. So we pray for them, for their leadership, for their personal life, for their integrity. But we also pray, we intercede for them when they can't come to the Lord because they don't know him. We need to pray for them so they might come to know him. And three, give God thanks for them. Now, again, I know we got people in this world who have different political opinions. And that's fine. You can hold your different political opinions. You can be disgusted by the leadership or not happy with the leadership. But you are still called scripturally to pray thanks for them. Now, what happens? What would happen if every Christian across the United States of America, instead of fighting, instead of arguing, instead of posting things on Facebook, instead of doing whatever we do we think is going to change the world, instead we chose to do our third agreement, which is we're going to take up this undertaking that Paul called to pray, to intercede, and to give thanks for those who are in authority over us. Now, it doesn't mean you have to vote for them. You could vote for the other guy, and that's absolutely fine. But we are called to pray. This week, I'd like to suggest one thing, just kind of a little bit extra, and that is this coming Tuesday, it is Election Day. Between 5 and 6, the doors are going to be open. We're not going to have any music or any speeches or anything, but if you would like to come and take that day some time to pray, please come. Come and go. Whenever, however long you'd like to be here, come. Offer prayer. Join with others who might be here. We won't have anything in the way of decorations or political signs. We will have a candle representing the one true light of the world, the one true hope we have. And yet, in the midst of that hope, we are invited to participate. We are invited to pray. Friends, we think that this is something that is kind of a throwaway, but it's not a throwaway. It is the answer for which we are to pray. If you don't want to come that time or you don't want to join with others, that's fine. But I invite you to pray on that day. And I'll invite you to pray the day before, and I'll invite you to pray the day after and continue that pattern. Let's work on this. Say, if our desire is truly for revival to come, for everyone to be saved and to understand the truth, if we want to get to that verse 4 and say that's what we yearn for, then let's start with what Paul addresses us to do. And again, Paul's call was this, to pray. This is where it starts for us. This is how we begin to affect change. And not only do our prayers have the potential to affect change in our leaders and in the world, but I also offer to you, If you're not happy with the results of the election, but every day you spend time praying for, interceding on behalf of, and giving God thanks for that person that you're not happy about, I think God is going to begin to do a work in your heart as well. Maybe release working that bitterness. Maybe release some of that pent-up frustration and anger that ends up working out in your other relationships. Maybe make you a happier and more stable person that doesn't have to be addicted to the news and have that news always keep you in an upset and in a low stage of rage. Maybe there's something of peace that will come in our hearts as we begin to follow this pattern that Paul has given to us to invite us to be a people of prayer, and through that prayer, to be the citizens of this world that God has called us to be. As citizens of this kingdom of God that we live in the midst of this world, we want to take a moment today to be reminded that we are invited not only to pray, but we are invited first to find our hope and to secure that hope in this relationship we have with God. That it was Christ who came and invited us to God, and through him invited, through his sacrifice, invited us to place our trust and to find our hope. Today we have this little packet. It's cute, it's clever, and it's going to get the job done. It's not my favorite way of celebrating communion, because part of communion is being together. It's in community. It's what we have in common. But though we're having individual packets today, we are doing this in common. That we as a people have been called to be God's children, that we as a people have been called to be part of God's answer, but that we as a people have been called to be recipients of his grace. And they are represented in this little piece of bread wafer and in this cup of juice. The body of Christ broken for us, and his blood poured out for us. He is the heartbeat of our identity to who we are as a people, and the reason we can trust God and we can move into a pattern of prayer to affect the change in this world. So if you want to pull that first little, be careful that you don't pull both of them off, because if you do, you'll get juice all over yourself. You don't want that. But if you can pull that first cellophane off and get to the piece of bread, okay, the body of Christ has been broken and his blood poured out. As the music plays, let us pray. Father, it is to you that we look today, and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for this blessing, the blessing of being yours and being invited in. For every hurt, for every failing, for every opportunity that we have missed, Father, we offer them to you, and we thank you for your forgiveness. God, we pray that you would continue to fill us not only with a sense of your grace, but also of your hope as we move forward. As your people, we hold on to the bread and recognize that this is the symbol that Christ offered to us, the body of Christ broken to us, and as a body, we receive it. People do like to pull the second foil off so that you can drink the juice. And as we do so, let us join in prayer here too. God, we thank you also for the cup, for the blood of Christ poured out for us and for all, for each and every sin that we have ever committed and for each and every sin that we will. God, we pray and thank you for your cleansing and your forgiveness. Father, as receivers of your grace today. Enable us to be emboldened to be your children, to be citizens both of your kingdom, infecting and influencing the worldly kingdom we also live in. Guide our steps today, and as we move forward, in Jesus' name, amen.